Esme found what might be a possible cause of the failure of the FTL drives and took that to Major Patak, who was overseeing the transport of the long crystal bundles from the Special Materials Fabrication Unit to T3 and Wraith. Even bundled, they were more flexible than Esme had expected. As she watched, the special transport teams eased them along the transport track. She had known, intellectually, that all ships had such framing members. She had known that they had a lateral flexibility which was essential to the design. But these shivering, wriggling lengths seemed far too frail to trust lives to in deep space. Patak gave her a brief glance and turned back to watch.
Ah, Sweeza, find something?
It's only a possibility.
Good enough. Have you seen these before? Wiggly, aren't they?
More than I thought.
Vidscan screens showed the entire route, from the exit port at the end of the Specmat fab, up over T1, the core, and down again between T3 and T4.
Why didn't they put the repair bays on the same side of the ship as Specmat? Wouldn't it have been easier to transfer things like that?
Yes, but that turned out to be the least important design consideration. If it really interests you, when this crisis is over, you can look it up in the design archives. The whole argument is in there.
Patak punched up the view in one screen and pointed to the bundles.
Now that's a good set. After a while, you'll be recognizing good strands from bad by the oscillations alone. If we didn't have this other crisis, I'd send you over to Specmat to watch them during breakoff.
Esme was just as glad to miss that. She had heard from others about the more spectacular breakoffs, when the test sequences induced more oscillation than a faulty crystal could withstand, and shards flew with a noise that was said to shake reason.
Let me see what you've got.
Patak looked at the data Esme had found and frowned.
I don't think this is it. The shearing force isn't enough to unseat the AG generators. And you're suggesting that it was AG instability which caused the drive failure, right?
Yes, sir.
How does it model?
They bumped everyone below department heads off the big computer. The little one said it was possible. That's why I brought it.
Ah. Well, I don't like the modeling program on the little one for anything but structural layups. For this sort of thing, we need the Mishnazi series. You should log off and get some sleep while you can. At least a good meal. Have you kept track of who's been to dinner?
No, sir. But I can do that as soon as I get back.
Do that, then. And thanks for this. I think it's sabotage myself, but DNM asked us to consider it.
Esme nodded and withdrew with her escort, a corporal she'd yanked out of the H&A clerical section when she needed to find Patak. She hated feeling useless. Of course she should eat. Of course she should be making sure that everyone else in the section did. But she wanted to do more. She had just reached Patak's office and started checking on the whereabouts of all personnel under her command when the comm beeped at her.
Right in the middle of a crisis and they have to short me. Sweeza, what have you been doing to get the Admirals interested in you?
Nothing that I know of.
Well, you're to report to Admiral Dossignol's office immediately. And the note to me says not to expect you back anytime soon. It never fails. I get someone trained to the point where they can do me some good and the brass taketh away.
Sorry, Major.
Too late, Esme remembered that she wasn't supposed to apologize. She thought of Baron with a pang. Was he still alive? Was he all right?
Better get going. If you have a chance, let me know what's going on. There's an odd feeling in this ship.
Yes, sir.
In the Admiral's outer office, Commander Adarin was watching for her.
Ah, Lieutenant Sweeza. Good. We're going directly to a secure meeting room in T1. Our escort will meet us at the lift tube.
Sir, may I ask?
Not until we're there. And don't look alarmed. You aren't in trouble, and we don't want to scare anyone.
Yes, sir.
Two armed pivot majors with security patches waited by the lift tubes. Esme saw the sheen of perspiration on their faces.
Commander, the captain says it would be better to avoid the tubes.
Something happened?
I can't say, sir.
Let's go, then.
Esme and Commander Adarin followed as he led them around the core to the base of T1. The wide passageway was busier than usual, as if others were avoiding the lift tubes and slideways. They had 5 decks of ladders to climb. When they emerged from the last, Esme saw another pair of security guards, these with their weapons in hand outside a secured hatch. A portable ID booth had been set up nearby, and Esme noticed the heavy gray boxes and cables of a full-strength blanket system positioned along the bulkhead. Whatever this was about, it was being kept as secure as possible from intrusion. She and Adarin both went through a complete ID check, retinal scans, palm prints, and blood test. Then the guards at the door checked them in. Inside, the medium-sized conference room was edged with more scan blanketing equipment. In the center, a cluster of officers leaned over a large table with a 3D model of Kosciusko on it. Esme already knew Admirals Dossignol and Levati by sight, as well as Captain Haken. But she had not met the lean, gray-haired full commander who was introduced as Wraith's captain, or his exec, Lieutenant Commander Freeze. Another lieutenant commander named Bowry, who wore no ship patch, had a collar pin indicating he was in the senior technical schools for some course.
What is this?
Gentlemen.
Admiral Dossignol now seated himself at one end of the table. Esme saw that places had been prepared with name tags, hers near the far end of the table. She sat just as the others did.
As you know, we are in a difficult situation here. In a few minutes, you'll have a chance to review the details of that situation, but the first thing you need to know is that you are all immediately relieved of your former assignments. You are assigned, under my direct command, to a difficult and dangerous mission. This is the first of the meetings you will hold to plan the execution of this mission.
He paused, as if for comment, but no one was unwise enough to make any.
You also need to know that Captain Haken is not in agreement with the aim of this mission, and plans to file a letter of protest. I respect his moral courage in so expressing his disagreement, and his loyalty, which has allowed him to cooperate even under protest.
Esme glanced at the captain, who went from beet red to pale.
I take full responsibility for what is done here, and its outcome. I have so informed Captain Haken, and have so stipulated in the official log. Is that clear? Good. Now, our mission is to capture a Blood Horde ship, and using that and Wraith, successfully defend this ship from capture. You are the officers who will command elements involved in this mission, so you are here to plan it.
But Wraith's crippled.
Correct. Wraith's drives are dismounted, and she cannot maneuver, but she can be trolled out to the drive test cradle, where her weapons can come to bear on either the Blood Horde ships or Kosciusko, as need requires.
Kosciusko?
If capture appears inevitable, Kosciusko must be destroyed. Its capability must not fall into Blood Horde hands, nor must its thousands of skilled technicians.
Esme supposed the others had worked through this equation before. The Blood Horde had never been known to free or exchange prisoners, though a few had been rescued from appalling conditions. Thus, a quick death, or relatively quick, would be a mercy compared to slavery on one of the Athar's world planets. But to contemplate the annihilation of so many of their own...
I believe, that there is a chance to defend this ship and prevent those deaths. It's not a good chance, but it is a chance. You are the ones best suited to carry it out. We do not know how much time we have. Let's not waste any.
With that, the planning session began in earnest. Esme had never been involved in mission planning before. She said nothing and listened, wondering how she fit into this. Admiral Dossignol outlined his ideas, then assigned officers to specific tasks.
Lieutenant Suiza, except for the crew of Wraith, you have the most recent and in some ways the most valuable combat experience.
Esme could feel them all staring at her.
Sir, the Admiral knows I was only—
This is no time for humility, Lieutenant. You are the only officer we've got who has actually fought inside a ship, and you commanded despite, with remarkable results. I'm not assigning you to command the ship we hope to capture. There's a more senior and more experienced officer, but I am calling on your knowledge of intra-ship combat.
Yes, sir.
At the same time, I think Captain Haken's security squads would benefit from your expertise.
Dossignol glanced at the captain, whose face reddened.
We have hostile forces aboard, and we've already taken casualties. Security hasn't located them or prevented the trouble they've caused so far.
If the Admiral wishes, my reservations are on file.
Commander Ceviche, you will be responsible for the actual detachment of T4 from the hub. I leave it to you how you're going to keep the necessary preparations from being recognized by the intruders, who I'm sure are observing what they can.
Yes, sir. I think some judicious tinkering with the artificial gravity controls could provide an excuse.
Whatever. If events overtake us before detachment is possible, we need a fallback plan. Along with your other duties, Lieutenant Suiza, I'd like you and Commander Adarin to liaise with Kosciusko's security about that. Commander Jimson, you're to make sure that people get what they need out of inventory without letting any more personnel be captured.
We need more security personnel.
True, Captain. If it would help you, I'm sure that Admiral Avadi can suggest individuals now enrolled in one of the tech courses who have sufficient background to be useful and have been aboard long enough to know their way around.
I've had Commander Fearon make a list already. We have 28 enlisted personnel with a secondary specialty in ship security and another 34 who have done security work at some time or other within the past 10 years. All are currently qualified with shipboard small arms. In addition, we have more personnel in the remote sensing course than Admiral Dasignol thinks will be needed for the rest of this mission. They can improve surveillance.
I must emphasize the urgency of the situation. We don't know how long before a Bloodhorde battle group arrives, or how many ships it might contain, or how the intruders will affect our efforts.
The guard at the door lifted his eyebrows. Dasignol nodded, and the guard pulled the door open. A disheveled security guard looked straight at the captain.
Captain, you're needed on the bridge, urgently. We have a situation.
Haken pushed back his chair.
Excuse me?
What kind of situation?
The guard looked at the captain.
Tell him, Corporal.
The emergency oxygen conservation system went off on half a dozen decks of T5 and knocked out everyone in sickbay and the ship's administrative offices. Two people got out and gave the alarm.
I'm on my way. You'll excuse me?
I hadn't thought of that. I should have. We haven't had any experience of this sort of thing. Lieutenant Suiza, can you tell us what sort of mischief we might expect?
Esme gathered her scattered wits.
Sir, they'll try to get weapons if they don't already have them. With stolen data wands, they can find out where the ship's security weapons lockers are, and if they get a data wand keyed for security, it might even give them the access codes. Then, they'll try to isolate and immobilize large numbers of the crew, probably by locking them into various compartments. That's what Captain Hearn's allies tried to do to us on Despite. Here, I suppose they try to cut off the wings from the core. They'll damage systems that give them effective control of ship operations, environmental systems, including ventilation as they did here, hatch controls, communications, scan. I'd expect them to try to take hostages from critical positions. If they've been loose in sickbay, they'll have medical personnel and supplies, including gas exchange equipment, so that we can't use the equivalent trick on them.
And your response would be?
The same tactics would work against them if the captain initiated them. Manually reset the ship's support system so that each wing is independent for life support, as it was designed, then isolate the wings. They'll be trapped and outnumbered wherever they are. If they're not in the core section, they won't be able to get to the bridge. If they are in the core section, they won't be able to use the wings for refuge. And ship security can go through the core first, then one wing at a time until they're located. Ship security will need a different secure communication system because we have to assume the present one is already compromised.
But if we do that, we won't be able to set up for detaching T4. And if the other ships come...
If we've all been knocked out with sleepy gas, we won't be able to detach T4 either.
In the brief silence that followed, Esme realized that she had just implied, no, said, that a commander was being stupid.
Lieutenant Suiza, I'm putting you in charge of security for the 14th, specifically T3 and T4. Liaise with regular ship security, but don't wait. Do what you think needs doing. Adarin, who've you got for her?
The door opened again.
They got into security. They've got the weapons and gas masks. Riot gas, probably. Maybe more.
Almost as one, heads turned to stare at Esme, who was still on her feet. Dasignol and the others scrambled up.
As I said, Lieutenant Suiza has been through this before. She correctly anticipated their moves.
I'm closing off the wings. We'll have to get the support systems isolated, but at least I've ordered the hatches closed to everything but T1. I'll give you the new codes, but...
The guard at the door turned to look out. Esme moved before she thought. As the captain started to turn, she tackled him solidly.
Shut it!
Hey, what? You
the captain writhed and tried to kick her in the head. She released him, rolled to her feet, and yanked the guard away from the door, slamming it, without taking a breath.
What?
The guard sagged to the floor, his face already bluish gray. The captain sat up, red-faced and furious.
Get him up! It's heavier than air!
If they didn't think to turn off the artificial gravity, if they didn't come right on through the locked door, Esme took the guard's weapon and used it to smash the internal door lock control. Wraith's captain and exec scrambled to help the captain up and get him to the table.
Gas, I presume?
The bridge!
After we get out of here.
preferably before the intruders figured out where this compartment's air supply was and simply poured the gas in that way.
If we can get out of this compartment, I can suggest a safe, or possibly safe, route away from here. I've been all over T1 for the past quarter year.
The overhead, or the deck. But I don't know how to get into it.
Well, you could just blow a hole in it!
Wraith's captain, Seska, looked up at the ceiling.
Nah, waste of ammunition. We'll go up.
He climbed onto the conference table and pushed aside one of the overhead tiles.
Yep. Just like every other space station, though the one we want is over there.
It took longer than Esme wanted to get the entire group up through the hole in the overhead. The captain was still groggy and uncoordinated and made an awkward bundle to lift. Esme went last, guarding their rear with her single weapon, though she knew it would be useless if the intruders broke in. But they wouldn't. She knew that, as if she could read minds. They had isolated the captain and the highest-ranking officers, and would let them stew in there as long as they wanted. In the seconds ticking away now, they were wreaking as much havoc as they could. They'd be back at the core, trying to take the bridge, if they hadn't already.